Good morning, everyone, and welcome to our first meditation sitting for the new year 2023. I'd like to offer a few reflections, which in some ways continue the theme raised by Anya at the last talk in December about right effort. And that essentially is to introduce or remind people of three concepts that may prove useful to guide our meditation practice and the right effort that we're trying to engage with. These three concepts or ideas are the following. One is what Barry Maggi calls our secret practice. The second is perhaps the slightly broader concept of spiritual materialism, which we won't spend much time talking about. And then thirdly, particularly in terms of what our practice might be, the concept of the core belief that Joko talks about and are the basic strategies we evolve for dealing with our core beliefs. So Barry Maggi, when he introduces the phrase and the idea of secret practice, talks about a curative fantasy, which he says is a personal myth that we use to explain what we think is wrong with us and what we imagine is going to make it all better. And he points out it can divide a person against himself or herself, creating a war against our own minds. And he continues to comment, our minds usually run amok, where our solutions far outstrip the original problems that set them in motion. And we're caught in a cascade of avoidances and solutions and the side effects of our solutions and what we do to relieve the side effects of the side effects. It's literally endless. So the paradox is that we come to our practice because we want to be open to the present. We want to be able to live in real time, not in our past time or future time. So we want to be open to that as it is. And at the same time, we probably come because we want to change something in the present, that something's not working out the way we feel that it should, and we want to change that. So a bit of a paradox about the whole idea of effort, where it's appropriate and where it's not. Now, the second concept was introduced, I think, in a fairly old book, maybe 1970s, by a Tibetan Buddhist, Chökyam Trungpa, who talked about, or seemed to have coined the phrase, spiritual materialism, which he defines as the tendency of the ego to appropriate a religious or spiritual path to strengthen rather than dismantle our sense of self-importance. So we end up in what we're trying to change, we end up strengthening our ego and our sense of our being the star of our own show. And that can be trying to use meditation practices to create a certain state of mind or zoning out with drugs or alcohol to create a kind of alternative reality in the short term anyway. Now, the third concept is one that's offered by Joko Beck, the founder of Ordinary Mind Zen, who talks about in her posthumous book in particular, our core beliefs and the strategies that we use to carry them out. So she asserts that we are all caught in the feeling that we should be some other way and that we worship what she calls the god of no discomfort and no unpleasantness. The god of no discomfort and no unpleasantness. Now she posits, at least the theory, that this core belief starts in our infancy, if not in the comfort of the womb, where everything is done for us. Everything is provided for us. We don't have to make efforts, right efforts or wrong efforts. Everything's taken care of. But once we come into the world and start growing up, we realize we start not getting what we want and often end up blaming ourselves for not getting what the world around us owes us, we think. And that we end up with a core belief that Joko suggests is some version of, I feel worthless. There's something wrong with me. And we separate ourselves from the present and the rest of the world, creating a kind of dualistic me and the problem outside. She also points out that it's not true, the core belief. But that doesn't matter. So Joko talks about one of her core beliefs is that I can't do anything. And yet, of course, she knows that she's capable of doing a great deal, and we know that she has. So regardless of the truth of the matter, we've got this belief or myth about ourselves and the world. And in order to deal with this uncomfortable situation, which the world is not giving us what we want, we develop a basic strategy or basic strategies to cope with that situation. So there are some suggestions for practice based on these concepts. Barry Magid goes back to Dogen at first and says, Dogen said, we should not think of Zazen as a technique, but much more as an expression or manifestation of who we are. The idea is that when we sit down, we're really practicing simply leaving ourselves alone. So that from the very beginning, we're off the grid of progress or any kind of means to an end thinking. Off the grid of progress. And eventually we discover, he writes, the fundamental paradox of practice is that leaving everything alone is itself what is ultimately transformative. Meditation is very literally, he says, a matter of sitting still with the things we would otherwise avoid. So, in practice, his suggestion is, what do? Nothing at all. We leave everything alone, he said. Now, I think we have to be careful to understand the context in which this advice is offered, because leaving everything alone does not mean complete passivity in the face of life's difficulties, but rather refers to our own state of mind. We certainly need to act to minimize the amount of suffering in the world, but not continue our own obsession with our spiritual practice. So we have, I think, in the past talked about engaged Buddhism or bearing witness to social or political difficulties. And on a micro level, it might have to do with trying to improve our medical condition without becoming obsessed by every little measure or every little diagnosis, to try to keep our basic balance of mind while still keeping track or doing what we can of whatever treatment we're involved with. Now, Joko is a bit more specific in terms of techniques or ways we might increase our awareness of our core beliefs and strategies. And she suggests, among other things, that we make three lists, only two of which I'm going to talk about now. The first starts out with the phrase, as a small child, I was trained to be XYZ. So I was trained to be very neat and polite. I was trained to take care of my younger siblings. Who knows what it would be? What is on our list is, as a small child, I was trained to be blah, blah, blah. A second list, she suggests, is right now, as an adult, I require myself to be blah, blah, blah. Now, I'm still a little bit uneasy with the background, with the theory of why we have this core belief, but I found focusing on the second list anyway, right now, as an adult, I require myself to be whatever it is. And the term problem solver came up for me. So I basically seem to be viewing life as a problem or problems that need, that require my action in solving them and doing it as quickly as I can, mustering whatever resources I can to solve the problem and trying to gain control when, of course, we know that it's impossible for us to control life. So my core belief probably has something to do with the loss of control and the need for seeking outside help and ways of dealing with problems. So to sum up what the approach might be in dealing with our negative core beliefs is, first of all, to, through our meditative practice, to observe our basic strategy, regardless of where it comes from. What is the basic strategy? I've got to solve this problem and do it quickly. Could be. So observe, first of all. Secondly, back off a bit. Avoid the immediate impulse to fix whatever it is that we perceive and that we think we should be doing. Of course, we know very often the problem that we think we've identified, that problem that's been bothering us, may be solved by others. It may disappear. It may not be a problem at all once things become clearer. So observe our basic strategy. What is it that I do when I encounter something I want to change? Secondly, to avoid the immediate impulse to fix it. And then thirdly, when necessary, work to change what can be changed and incorporate the reality of what can't be changed into our own lives. Thank you.